You know, you get caught up in ministry or in anything, and it's not until you hurt or something happens to you that really you realize that there's a lot more people that are caring than what you have imagined. And in your life, it's not just around you and God going to heaven, but it's that you might enjoy your Father, which is in heaven, here on this earth, in what you have, in your family, and in your desires, and in your thought, and being a father and a grandfather. I just keep getting better at it, you see. When you're a father and you've got all that pressure and you don't know how to be a father, you're just trying to meet all the needs. And that's what you should be doing. And in doing so, you make a lot of mistakes. But they're not sin unto death. They're not bad mistakes. They're just learning processes where it can be done better. Where you can do it better. And in the church, if we'll stop trying to bring everybody up to our level of intelligence and understanding and spiritual growth, and we'll begin to love one another and realize that we are the children of God, and they're not your children or my children. And just as we had to trust God when our kids were out of our sight, so we have to trust God with the church and with our friends and with our husbands, with our wives, with our children, with our friends, that He will impart within them that which is wholesome, that which brings on life. And so we're dealing with grace here. And I just kind of, I'm going to keep going through this because I feel that you know what it is. I don't want to intimidate you in any way, but yet I want to enlarge you. I want to bring you out of the focus of personality. And yet I don't want you not to have personality. So in doing so, we're looking at this. And in Zechariah 4 and 7, when Zerubbabel, when Israel had exited, in Ezra you'll see that they had exited and they had started the temple, that circumstance once again, and reasonings of surrounding behavior politically and spiritually had so degraded because it succumbed to a lesser circumstance than what God had called them for. And usually this is what happens in the church. They go to a lesser responsibility than what God called them for because they can't see. They just take a natural look of things and a natural intelligence of things and say, I can't do it. And they're right. But that's not the truth. The truth is that God had predestinated or called us beyond ourselves. That this grace that we're talking about is something that goes far beyond a personal endeavor. But when we get through looking at it, you're going to see the eye of God. You're going to see why it was necessary that the age of grace, that the dispensation of grace, whatever you want to call it, there's too many things that you have been taught that have not all been wrong, that you have wrote off because you haven't understood it clearly. But He brought grace in And so Zerubbabel here, hallelujah, he said, okay, we'll just read this a little bit. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings and cryings of grace. Now you see, we know in part, and too much of the time, we take what we know in part as it being a full measure, and it's nowhere near it. It's just enough to keep you from going further. It's just enough to satisfy your intelligence, just to keep you in a place that won't push you outside of who you are. And none of this is, it has a death-giving blow. It doesn't. And so Zerubbabel was king over Judah, and they had started the temple, but they had caused it to stop, and then prophets came, the minor prophets. That's what they're for. In case you haven't known, the minor prophets actually shouted forth the day of the Lord. They actually shouted forth the purpose of God for His people, the vision of God, and that He was capable and able in that situation that seemed impossible, that situation that was reasonably impossible to them, that He was going to take and come in and come on the scene, and things were going to change. How could that happen? How could that ever be? Because He purposed it, and because He has the means in which to see that it is fulfilled in your life. Can you hear me? In your life, can you hear me? Don't be satisfied with just getting enough to go to heaven. And so with this shout, give me one more verse. And so there's a double grace there. Grace. You see, the first grace that has to come is Jesus, an indwelling Spirit. Unmerited favor, the favor now of eternal life. That's the first thing that has to come. But that's not all there is. That's not the end of it. Hallelujah. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, give me another one. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this house. His hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Jesus. Even in the midst of it looked like He totally dropped the ball, it wasn't His ball. God's Spirit in your life, hallelujah, is still His Spirit. And as it becomes, as you let it, it'll become your Spirit. You see, God's Spirit in you is bigger than you. Bigger than the circumstances. Bigger. And He said, Zerubbabel has laid the foundation, because God put him there. God's put you here. It's time you took your place. It's time you begin to become this part. But I must go on. So now, honey, if we'll go to the next slide, hallelujah, to the next one, you can do the definitions. We did this last week. I'll give you the notes if you want them. I have them on my computer. To the individual believer. Now, we did this last week. And it's good. We're going to go back. But I want to show you something. Paul is the one who actually gives us a definition of grace. that goes beyond individuality. We've not considered this. What we've considered is our individuality. And to get a security blanket for ourselves. But it's not about that. It's not about that at all. It's about having the kingdom of God. Father, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth, as it is in heaven. This earth is going to look like heaven. Can you believe it? This earth has been called to represent God in all the universes. And even though there seems to be such a contradiction of circumstances, it will be. It will be. And so, today we want to look at the local fellowship of believers. And I want to take you to 1 Corinthians 3 and 16 to start with. But, now do you know that every church is a part of the body of Christ? One part that it makes up a part, whether it's large or small. That every assembly should be a part of the body of Christ. And that's why it's important that you fit. But you see, if you already think you know where you fit, you're mistaken. If God's put you here, you fit here. So then you need to know how to fit in. His grace will make that happen. It's not my desire to build a kingdom around me, but it is my desire to father you and challenge you to be the best you can be. And in doing so, you may be better in some things, but you need to take the Father's advice. He has an eyesight that a mother don't have. Just like a mama's got eyesight that daddy don't have. I have to listen to my wife in the things that pertain to that. Because there's no way that I could know what she knows. Only with what she tells me. That don't mean I know it. I know about it. Honey, go back up to 15. We'll start at 15. I just kind of want to read this along with you. If any man work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You don't have to be scared about that. Not only will you know, but everyone will know. As you're being established and developed in Christ, that authority, as you develop it, you will carry. As a father, as a mother, as a brother, a sister, wherever it might be, you will carry that authority. A mother's a mother. Dad's a dad. They carry that authority. Whether they do it all alike or not, makes no difference. Whether we do it all alike or not, makes no difference. Well, I thought we all had to be clones. No. We have not yet seen humanity, all humanity, love like God loves their brother. where he forgives all the time. He never holds a grudge. He never holds nothing against any one of us, but we hold it against ourselves. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Keep forgiving yourself. Because he already has. And so, okay. Know ye not, go back. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Lord, of God? I'm going to go back one, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God, it dwells within each and every one of us? Do you know that not every part is exhibited in each and every one of us, but that that his expressions now begin to come as individuals begin to give themselves to the other parts of the body? You don't have to. You don't have to be anybody else. Nobody else. Just let God come out of you and be free. Hallelujah. And go to the next one, because we are the temple. Not you are the temple only, but ye are the temple. We're the temple. We're the temple. Hallelujah. But there's a headstone on that temple. I'll try and tie this all in. And hopefully that is coming good. And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now he's not talking about judgment here, where you can take and get your little judgment stick out and try and evaluate it and then make judgment. Not at all. Oh, that's what knowledge likes to do. It likes to raise itself up to be the authority. What are we talking about now? Spirit of God being the authority in you. And so, and this Spirit's merciful. He's gentle. He's kind. He's not puffed up. He doesn't magnify himself. Hallelujah. One more, honey. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in the world, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. In the world in which we live, as long as evil is at its present height, hallelujah, you better be careful, and please don't take that wrong. You just need to be careful that it don't dictate to you truth that's not true, a true thing that's not the truth. Is that all right? Even in your own circumstances. Hallelujah. And especially towards the brethren and the sister. We still got way too much people want to become a psychologist now with the Word of God. We don't want to interfere. You need to watch God work in one another's lives and encourage that more than anything else. Hallelujah. So, honey, if you go to my last slide. The local fellowship of the believer. Of the believers, which is pretty cool. Go to the last slide. Can you get it? The very last one. Hallelujah. Number two. Hallelujah. We're just going to do this a little bit. I just want to get you started. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The local fellowship. And if we look at John 1 in 16, if we'll go there, we'll see that once again, His grace. And of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. Do you know that after you ask Jesus in your heart, you receive His grace? Do you know that? His favor. He begins to favor you. He begins to throw things your way. He begins to give you things. But He wants to do more. He doesn't just want you to stay there. He doesn't just want you to think you're going to heaven and praise God nobody else is, maybe or maybe not. Come on. Or I'm not sure. No. Then He wants this grace. He wants your grace to begin to come out in one another. He begins to want us to work as a local body, local assembly, and begin to love one another. Hallelujah. Make excuses, the right kind, but make excuses for one another. Begin to understand the language. You know, everybody speaks a different language in the assembly. You know that all the gifts, spiritual gifts of God, are at work in the assembly. Do you know that as we continue to flow in it, that the head, that as He sets His head on this church, that you'll have the freedom, that your gifts can be expressed, and you won't do it because you can. You'll do it when He tells you to do it. And we'll begin to see a local assembly, and his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Let me tell you something. I love you guys. Remember Tom, he's not here today. He's struggling. This is the first time he hasn't been here since he's been coming. He might be sick. Call him. Just check and see. I talked to him Thursday. He seemed to be all right. Hallelujah. But you know, when we're going through things, I'm not going to just let you. I'm going to bug you. Even if you don't want to be bugged. And so, read the passage of John 1. It's actually 15 down through the end of the chapter, and you'll see that there's a subject matter there. Honey, in fact, you better just go to it. Start with 15, and just let me show you something. Acts 1, start with 1:15, chapter 1, verse 15. Yeah, chapter 1, John 1, start with verse 15. John bore witness of Him and cried, saying, "This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me." Hallelujah. Who was born first? Remember? Huh? Was Martha pregnant when Mary came to her? And of His fullness have all we received grace unto grace. Next one. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus, not Jesus only. Jesus the Anointed. Jesus the Anointed. Jesus Christ. Next one. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. He hath shouted Him forth. He hath declared you. Can you He hath declared you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. One more, honey. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him who he was. Even John, he didn't declare himself. He said, I'm not the Messiah. Hallelujah. But Jesus is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And honey, now we'll go to the next slide. Now we're also, and I want to keep this in your focus. We're talking now about focusing on a local fellowship. Hallelujah. That's why it's important that you come in fellowship together. God didn't come to save each individual alone. He came to save the church. He came to save His chosen ones. He came to bring them, each one, into this chosen ones. And I may go into Luke and show you later, but not today. Let's go to Acts 2 and 47. Praise God and have favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, did he say he added to each person? Then what was the purpose of God for this Jesus to come? Think about it. Do you think that his purpose was being accomplished in the book of Acts? Do you think that that the very desire of God's heart for this church now, this redeemed church, to begin to come together and focus as a church? I think so. Hallelujah. Okay, honey, go to the slide again. Acts 11, 23. And we'll see the purpose of God's heart. Who, when he came and he had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. Come on, beloved. Hallelujah. I'm just encouraging you. You know, I may have a little bit of a broken spirit, but it's not for sadness. It's for the awesomeness of this God that we serve. And how great He is. And how great you are. And how much I love you. But I'm learning to love you more. I'm not going to nitpick on your personality. I'm going to keep building you in Christ with everything that I have. Now we're seeing that this double grace, you've seen the double grace, addressed to us in Zechariah. When the second grace came, they finished the temple. Zerubbabel did finish the temple. In the most impossible situations that you ever saw. And I'm going to tell you something. This church is going to be built, hallelujah, for the kingdom of God and for no other reason. Not on demand. But it'll be each one of you taking your part. Each one of you as God begins to, by His Spirit, move you and move you out of your comfort zone. Hallelujah. He's prepared you for this hour. He's prepared you for this day. Hallelujah. Is that my next one, honey? Go to my next one. He had a purpose of heart there. And this is just an overlook. I'm going to go back and deal with some of these a little bit later. But I want us to see that grace is far greater than what we thought. That it was just meant for us personally and we were going to have His unmerited favor. No, He loves us. It's true that's true, but it goes beyond that. It goes far, far beyond that. Hallelujah. Acts 14, 26 and 27. And thence sailed to Antioch. And remember when Paul was doing this? And here he is. He's actually beginning to start a church. From whence they had recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come, now go back there just for a second. I want you to see there. Now there's an operation here that I think you need to notice. Hallelujah. From whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. You see, there was a fulfillment by His grace. But they were the fulfillment. Now go to the next one. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how that He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. This was a whole new experience with Christianity. I mean, up until this point, you didn't dare do this. You didn't dare mix anything up. But God was reaching out. In Luke 14, we see that the parable that speaks about the wedding, about the guest of the wedding, that the chosen ones had their excuses. They didn't come. They said, I got a wife and I got to stay there. Do you remember this? And none of them came. But what did God do? What did He tell His bondservants to do? How the chosen ones didn't eat. They were too busy. They knew enough. They're set. They didn't need any more God. They didn't need what He has was celebrating. You see, this celebration was the last celebration of the day, but it also was a celebration of the finishing up of the temple, where now the temple was complete and God was in the temple. And so now that God was in the temple, He wanted to throw a party. And because the chosen ones wouldn't come, He didn't force them to come. Nothing they knew caused them to come. But just the opposite. They didn't need it. Because they were so blessed by God. So what did He do? He told His bondservants. He said, Al, go outside and start calling the neighbors in. So he goes and he calls all the neighbors into the church for this dinner that's been prepared for the chosen ones. And what's he do? He says, tell me, what did he say? Al said, so he can speak out a little bit. He said, it's not filled up. So Al, go back and check around the garbage cans. Check with the homeless. Tell them there's a free meal. Best meal they'll ever eat in their life. And I know we don't like to think so because of all that God's blessed us with, but had not this movement made by Jesus, it would have been those around the garbage cans. And how that He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, who opened the door for them. I love salvation. I love to get on my knees and pray with people for the first time. I love it with all my heart. It's the Lord in your heart. But I'm a dad. Isn't that good enough? Now I want to see you. See what you're going to be in Christ. Now I want to see what God's going to do far beyond anything we've ever imagined or ever could imagine. Because you see, it's the dinner. It's a dinner. It'll be all right. Go tell them now what you ate. Got it? Hallelujah. Now we're talking about not just about yourself now, but about the Father and His desire to take and bring everyone in to that. You see, it's God's will that all should come. That all should be saved. That none should be lost. We shouldn't do this. We should not segregate ourselves. Or think that we're higher than somebody else because we have these gifts or we have these talents. But that we might be able to bring these talents in and bring them into the working part of the body of Christ or a local fellowship. There's things we need to do here. And you may be able to do them. You may not want to do them, but you may be able to do them. And if you can do them, you need to be praying. God may tell you to get started. Okay, go to the next one, hon. I'm almost done here. Hallelujah. Where did we stop? 18? Huh? Yeah, let's go to 18. Did we do that one? No, let's go to 18:27. And when he was disposed to pass to Antioch, or to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he came, helped them much which had believed through faith. Once again, what do we see here? Do we see a cooperation here? Do we see going beyond ourselves here? That's what we're supposed to be doing as a local fellowship. Hallelujah. It's time that the gifts that God's put within you begin to work and function in the church. However small or however big they might get. It might get real big. It might not get very big. But none of them's insignificant. They're all very, very, very important. Okay, let's go to the next one. We did this one. Go to the next one, honey. Well, the last one. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 4. Hallelujah. Moreover, brethren, we do, you to wit, of the grace of God bestowed on the church of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberty. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying with us, much entreated that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministry to the saints. That it, honey? And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own self to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. You see what I'm talking about here? No, we're still talking about the same grace. Favor. Do you know that fellowship is of in that area of understanding? Do you favor somebody? Hallelujah. And so now it's God's favor coming outside of you that's going to touch the people that I believe that God will have in this house, or we will not be pointed in our opinions as much as we'll be looking for God's developing in each life and adding what we can to see to it that that happens. Gordy loves to coach at the public high school with his girls being there, his girl being in sports and that. And he has something to give. But I noticed that he knows all the kids on the team. And so he's not just given of what he knows. He wants them to get better, and he knows how to help them become better. But he really wants them to be to come together as a team. He really wants them to win. And the truth is, he knows how to win. If you've never won, you don't know how to win. But if you're a winner, you produce winners. He won. Jesus won. Won what? Won the very battle that we struggle with. The battle over life and death. He won it. He won it. And he has given it. You don't have to earn it. You can't. You have to learn how to receive it. Just like if Gordy's given instructions and he sees something and he says, now look at, if you'll do this, it'll make a difference. If you do this, it'll make a difference. And then he looks for that. Do you look for them to do it, Gordy? You don't think God looks for us to do it? Are you judging them because they can? No. Do you know they can? Jesus. He knows you can. He knows you can. Hallelujah. That's where I'm going to leave it today. Hallelujah. I'm going to leave you right on a good note. Hallelujah. He knows you can. He's waiting for you to stand up and not be anybody else. But I can't wait as you come out. I can't wait to see my kids, how they develop. They always go beyond me. You want to see them do some things you never saw before, don't you? Go ahead. Because they can. That's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for the church to do some things they've never done before. Because he knows they can. We don't all have to do the same thing. We don't all have to jump on the same bandwagon. We don't all have to have the same merry-go-round. Hallelujah. Now, Father, hallelujah. I pray that you'll seal this word. Thank you for all the people that care. People that care I never even thought about, Father. In all that you care, I pray for this assembly to have the love of God as its head, at the very head, at the cape, at the very head of this headstone of this part of the temple. Father, I release the courage to say, I will do what you want me to do. You have to fulfill it, but I will do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you know what I want to do? Could you put that up there? And then we're going to have praise and worship. But we're going to, yeah, and all we have to do is just read it together. Glory to God. And if somebody will take care of my stuff at the there, I'll be appreciate that. Together, let's just say that. I am strong. I will not faint. Quit, lose heart, give up, turn coward, or run. In all the days of adversity, because my strength is not small, I am strong in the Lord. And that makes me superior to the forces of darkness. Therefore, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue or situation that rises against me, I will declare to be wrong, because I am strong. Hallelujah. And you can find it in Ephesians 6:10.